All right, welcome back, everybody, to the deep dive. We're diving into something really interesting today.
Yeah, should be a good one.
Definitely. You know, we always try to choose these topics that, you know, maybe haven't gotten quite enough attention.
Yeah, a little niche.
Exactly, a little niche, but still super relevant to, you know, kind of the broader conversations happening.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Today we're looking at dispute resolution.
Okay.
But through this really specific lens of diversity and inclusion.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're talking, you know, arbitration, mediation, all those ways that...
Alternatives.
Yeah, alternatives to going to court
mm-hmm.
and, you know, using a neutral third party.
Right.
But, you know, we've got some excerpts from this text we dug up
mm-hmm.
that really goes deep on, like, practical steps to increase diversity in these fields. And, you know, it made me think, like, you know, when you picture an arbitrator or a mediator, like, who comes to mind?
It's interesting, right? Because you don't always think about it.
No. You don't. You just think like, oh, there's this, you know,
neutral.
This magic neutral person.
Exactly.
But like their background, their experiences, you know, that shapes how they see the world.
Absolutely.
So how they approach a dispute.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's spot on. And what's interesting is that this text, you know, argues that diversity in this context, like in dispute resolution.
Yeah.
It's not just like, I don't want to say like a feel good initiative.
Yeah.
It's actually good for business.
Oh, okay. I'm interested. So how is that good for business?
So think about it, right? Imagine you have a dispute, let's say between, I don't know, like a cutting edge tech startup and a more traditional manufacturing firm.
Okay.
Now, if you have a mediator, right, who has experience in both of those sectors.
Yeah, they can kind of speak both languages.
Exactly. They're more likely to kind of bridge that understanding gap and come up with, you know, a more creative, lasting resolution.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Right. So it's the power of having these different perspectives, right? Mm. It's not just about, you know, checking boxes. It's about bringing real value to the table.
Yeah. I mean, even if, you know, I'm not like hashing out some huge legal battle.
Right.
But like thinking about just negotiating anything or like a partnership.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like that kind of insight, understanding where someone's coming from, that's huge.
It's huge. And I think what this text also talks about, and it's something that we see a lot, right, is that there's a lot of talk about diversity.
Yes.
But the question is, you know, how do you actually put it into practice?
Right. Everyone's making pledges.
Yeah.
But
what are the concrete steps?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And the text, it offers some strategies.
Okay.
That both, you know, lawyers working within companies, so in-house counsel, as well as, you know, lawyers hired from outside counsel, they can use. And a big one is just being intentional about it, right?
Yeah.
So when you're selecting an arbitrator, a mediator, you're actively looking for candidates with diverse backgrounds.
Right.
You know, you're working with organizations that are known for having, you know, a diverse pool of arbitrators and mediators.
So like being proactive about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Not just taking
whoever's
presented to you.
Not just like the default.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big step.
Okay. So that's being proactive.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like, practically speaking, are there like roadblocks? Like what gets in the way of people actually doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a couple of things come to mind.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's just a lack of awareness.
Oh, interesting.
Right. People just, they don't know.
They don't even know where to look.
They don't know where to look. No. They don't know what resources are available. Right.
And I think another thing is, you know, and this is something that's been, you know, talked about a lot, is unconscious bias.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where you know, we might not even realize it.
Like, without even realizing it.
Exactly. But our decisions are being influenced by these biases.
Yeah. And so, like, how would that play out? Like, give me an example of how that would actually affect this.
So, let's say a law firm is looking for an arbitrator
mm-hmm.
who has, you know, expertise in complex financial matters.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might unconsciously, you know, gravitate towards someone who reminds them of, you know, arbitrators they've worked with in the past.
Yeah.
Who were successful, who they liked.
Right, right.
But those people might all come from, you know,
similar backgrounds. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's why it's really important to have these systems in place that that promote, you know,
right,
conscious inclusion.
So you're not just
picking your buddy.
Exactly. You're broadening the pool.
Yeah.
And you're really making a conscious effort to consider candidates from all walks of life.
Okay. So I'm getting that it's not just about hitting, like, you know, a quota or a number. Like,
no, absolutely not.
The text actually says it's about qualifications, not just numbers.
That's a key point, right?
Yeah.
Because diversity cannot come at the expense of quality.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you balance those two things?
So I think the key here is finding the best people for the job.
Okay.
Right. But ensuring that the pool of candidates is truly representative.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the text actually points to two really important numbers.
Oh, okay.
So one is the percentage of diverse candidates on like, you know, the rosters, the lists of potential arbitrators.
Got it.
But the other number is the percentage of those candidates who actually meet the specific qualifications for a given case.
Okay.
So you're looking at both, right? You're looking at the overall representation.
Right.
But you're also looking at, you know, do these folks actually have the skills, the experience.
The expertise.
Exactly, to handle this particular case.
But, I mean, some people might push back and say, like, well, you know, if we're really prioritizing diversity, maybe we need to relax the qualifications a little bit.
I understand that argument.
Yeah.
But I think it's a slippery slope, right? Because if we start, you know, lowering the bar,
yeah,
then we risk undermining the whole idea of, you know, having qualified, competent people.
Yeah.
In these roles.
Right.
And I think the key here is building a pipeline.
Yeah.
Of diverse talent with specialized expertise. And that takes time.
Right.
It takes effort. It takes mentorship. It takes training. It takes opportunities for professional development.
So it's not just a one-time fix. It's,
yeah, go long term.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And that's why those two percentages are so helpful.
They are, right.
You're looking at, like, okay, how are we doing on representation?
Yep.
But also, how are we doing on making sure that these folks are actually getting the training they need?
Exactly. It's about progress on both fronts.
Okay. So that makes sense. And it kind of brings us to this idea that the text talks about, like, the power of collaboration.
Yes.
So, you know, bar associations, mm-hmm. you know, national, state, city, mm-hmm. specialized groups, you know, the National Bar Association, the LGBTQ Bar Association, like,
yeah.
these groups have a role to play, right?
Absolutely.
So why are those collaborations so important?
I think it's about, you know, creating this network effect, right? Where where you're pooling resources, you're sharing best practices, you're creating more opportunities for diverse legal professionals to gain experience, to gain visibility.
Okay.
And it's really a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
another
not
one involved.
Like a competition.
No, not at all.
Like, we can all work together.
Absolutely. To achieve this common goal.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the text also highlights a really, like, cool example of this.
Yeah.
The ADR Inclusion Network.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is a New York City based network.
Okay.
And they really are all about collaboration.
Okay.
So they bring together arbitral institutions, law firms, even courts.
Wow.
All with the shared goal of increasing the use of diverse neutrals. And when we say diverse neutrals, we're talking about the arbitrators and mediators.
Got it.
Right. Making sure that they come from a variety of backgrounds.
Okay.
They also focus on promoting the growth of prospective neutrals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, helping, you know, up and coming arbitrators and mediators.
Like giving them experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they also serve as a resource, like a hub for anything related to diversity in ADR.
So it's really comprehensive.
It is. It is. And I think what's really interesting about their approach is that they foster this sense of collective responsibility.
Okay.
Right. So it's not just, you know, putting the burden on
individuals.
On individuals. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's creating a system that supports and amplifies efforts to increase diversity.
Okay.
And they've seen real success with that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, beyond organizations like that, what other approaches are effective for building that pipeline of diverse talent?
I think mentorship is huge, right? Having experienced professionals who can guide aspiring arbitrators and mediators from diverse backgrounds, help them navigate the field, help them develop their expertise.
Yeah.
And also having training programs that are specifically designed for diverse candidates to equip them with the skills and the knowledge they need to succeed.
Okay. So it's really this like
a multi-pronged
approach. Yeah. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
I think the key takeaway is like progress on diversity and inclusion. It requires, you know,
it takes effort.
It takes effort. It takes collaboration and it takes commitment.
Absolutely.
To building that pipeline.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah. And I guess like a final thought for our listeners.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a position to choose an arbitrator or mediator,
right?
What steps would you take?
Yeah.
To ensure a fair and diverse process.
It's a great question to think about. And even if you're not directly involved in choosing arbitrators or mediators, I think the principles that we've talked about today, they apply
absolutely
to so many different fields.
Yeah.
So think about your own field, right?
Right.
Like, how can you apply these ideas of diversity and inclusion?
Right.
How can we all work together to create a more just and equitable system?
Great question. Yeah. Lots to think about.
Lots to think about.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.